2019 wasn't quite another annus horribilis for Queen Elizabeth, but she used her recent message at Christmas to say that it had been a bumpy ride.
Of course, at the heart of the Christmas story lies the birth of a child, a seemingly small and insignificant step overlooked by many in Bethlehem. But in time, through his teaching and by his example, Jesus Christ would show the world how small steps, taken in faith and in hope, can overcome long-held differences and deep-seated divisions to bring harmony and understanding. Many of us already try to follow in his footsteps. The path, of course, is not always smooth, and may at times this year have felt quite bumpy.
Indeed. Now, devotees of the annual broadcast have noticed that in the past 5 or 6 years, the Queen has spoken more explicitly about her faith. So in a year that's seen Prince Andrew go to ground after allegations of a sex scandal, and now Prince Harry and Meghan retreat to Canada, how much is the Queen resting on her faith? US writer Dudley Defs is the author of a new book, The Faith of Queen Elizabeth.
Perhaps part of this new, more overt kind of faith in the annual Christmas broadcast emerges because of having lost the Queen Mom, having lost Princess Margaret, and of course both of those in the same year, 2002, I believe. But then just being 93 years old, I think she certainly has to have her own mortality in mind and history and legacy. And I think she realizes that her Christian faith is a central part of that legacy.
How seriously does she take the role that was given to her at her coronation as defender of the faith? I mean, first of all, what does it mean?
Well, of course, it's one of those curious titles that's part of the legacy of Henry VIII. Defender of the faith was a title that was a kind of consolation prize or conciliatory gesture by the Pope to finally make peace with this break with the church that Henry made so that, of course, he could marry whom he wanted and, you know, try to have that male heir he wanted. And so the title itself has a rather dubious history and yet has become entrenched as part of the monarchy and a clear and central facet of it. And what I appreciate about Queen Elizabeth's handling of that role is that, like so many others, she has been very gentle and yet very firm, because I think it could easily be nothing but a ceremonial role. But I think she has been an incredible example. She attends church faithfully weekly. She does pray. She references the Bible. She has become more overt in her annual Christmas broadcasts. I loved what she did as part of her Diamond Jubilee with Scripture Union and the Bible Society and producing this wonderful little booklet on Her Majesty the Queen and the King She Serves, which, you know, several hundred thousand copies went out. And basically, it's very direct about her faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
What did she say in the coronation pledge? What did she say about upholding the gospel?
That is a very explicit part of her coronation vows. That's the first vow, in fact, that the Archbishop of Canterbury makes as part of that ceremony, and the first one the Queen took before the state, before the Commonwealth, before anything else. It is a commitment directly to God, a relationship between herself and the sovereign. I think she has demonstrated time and time again that she sees that as a kind of divine calling and not one necessarily that she would have chosen herself, but yet she has refused to shirk it or to denigrate it or to turn it into a kind of pedestal for her own ego or self-aggrandizement. I think she has tried to steward the monarchy and all that it entails, even while helping it change and evolve into our 21st century.
How has her religious faith also shaped the way that she has approached some big international crises and problems, especially in the area, for example, of race and racism?
Well, I think her religious views guided her to transcend or to go beyond what was perhaps politically expedient. There are conflicted interests involving the United Kingdom's business interests. Certainly, you know, with Prime Minister Thatcher and her reluctance to impose sanctions.
Yeah, we should just point out that in the 1980s, when Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher was strongly against economic sanctions against apartheid South Africa, the Queen, as much as she can take a position for a neutral monarch, is believed by numerous biographers and insiders to have taken a position that was, no, we have to stand up to apartheid. And she did make a very big deal, I think, of receiving Nelson Mandela, even before he was the president of South Africa, at Buckingham Palace.
Yes. And of course, there was a leaked news story in one of the Sunday tabloids claiming Her Majesty was, you know, very unhappy with Prime Minister Thatcher for several reasons. But this was certainly a large part of them, this resistance to sanctions and to taking measures that would force the end of apartheid in South Africa. So even when the Queen has been very limited in her role in terms of how to maneuver, it seems to me that she has always found a way to exert influence.
Those of us who've been watching the Netflix series The Crown will recall the story of the Queen's encounter with Billy Graham, the American evangelist. Given that she has a very traditional, some would say rather staid view of the way to worship and to practice one's religion, what do we know of her relationship with Billy Graham?
Queen Elizabeth II and the Reverend Billy Graham had this lifelong friendship that did indeed begin, as we see dramatized. It's episode 6 with that great German title, Vergangenheit, which means the past. And of course, Her Majesty, you know, is struggling with how to forgive her Uncle David and these new revelations about his involvement or betrayal during World War II. And that coinciding with Reverend Graham's first major crusade there in London and her invitation then to have him come preach at Windsor in the chapel. Reverend Graham is very direct and explicit in his autobiography about this friendship that continued. And he comments that even though Her Majesty cannot be as direct and explicit about speaking of the gospel or of her faith, that she nonetheless demonstrates this faith that is just bedrock solid and incredibly inspiring.
What do we know about the sensibilities of her heir, Prince Charles?
Andrew, I think we know that Prince Charles has a more liberal sensibility, if you will, a more libertine view, perhaps, of the church's role in modern culture and society. Perhaps, you know, has a more relevant view, one might argue, because of the personal history he has had with divorce and scandal in the public eye. But now, in his 70s and taking on more responsibilities in preparation to be king, it seems very likely that the future King Charles, if you will continue to have this same consistency of behavior, of respect, and of stewarding not just the monarchy, but the church and being defender of the faith as well.
Although I think he has said that he rather likes the idea of being defender of faith as opposed to simply the faith. I guess that's an interesting take.
Oh, I think that's a very astute observation, and we can make of that what we will. That will certainly upset some people and perhaps trouble some church traditionalists and wanting to maintain a singular the Christian faith. In many ways, it reflects the necessity of being inclusive. And if nothing else, it keeps the conversation about personal faith alive in an era when so many people consider it irrelevant.
Dudley Deffs, author of The Faith of Queen Elizabeth.